live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company final hour on this Wednesday. Adam Hill, Willie Ramirez, Griffin with you. Man, it's been kind of hectic the last 2 hours. A lot went on. It's also very stressful. It's very stressful talking about the Christian Wilkins situation.
I don't know how many times there's been, if I count on one hand, regardless of the sport, from UFC to the Golden Knights to the Raiders, that I've really seen Adam sort of beside himself a little bit.
Well, it's just there's a lot that's known publicly. There's a lot that's known behind the scenes that you can't really talk about. There's things that are going to come out, I think, that makes it a little bit trickier. Then there is like the undercurrent of different topics that are involved in this that I think are important to discuss. And there's just a lot. And like you're also potentially dealing with people's private lives that they never chose to make public or wanted to make public. There's just a lot to it.
For me, the last couple of days when we brought it up on the show, I think it's easier for me to talk about in terms of respectful speculation in providing different scenarios because I'm not covering day-to-day. I'm out there, and I'm covering more from a feature standpoint, like breaking news stuff. I'm not going to do that on the Sporting Tribune. It's going to be after the fact and things that we hear. Where you're out there, and you're breaking stuff, and you're in the mix, and you know you have as good a sources as anybody else. So it's hard for you. Where in the past, when there were storylines, as you were saying, where you know or undertones that you know about, but you can't comment. But I've heard you speak confidently in and around in a way where, like, I've never really heard you stammer around a subject as much as this. There are times that set us all back a little bit, but you can just tell this one's it's getting to you because it's like, damn, how do you talk about it?
Yeah.
And it's the most prominent conversation in our world right now.
Yeah. And what do you start thinking too, like when you start talking about something like, oh wait, is this something that like is known or not known yet? Or that will be known, but isn't it? Like it's a lot. It's tricky. And I do think it's kind of like it's weird because I said earlier I'm not gonna use the word. Weird. I just keep doing it. It's a crutch.
Go to odd.
It's odd. It still feels the same. It's a fascinating situation because it is the biggest storyline right now, I think, really in the NFL. Like it's everywhere. I watched a bunch of national takes on it yesterday. It's the biggest story. And so it's a disservice not to talk about it, but it is also tricky to talk about. And it's one of those things that the less you know about it, the easier it is to talk about it.
Right. That's what I was just saying. That was the point I was getting at is, you know, it's probably easier on a national level to talk about because they have no clue what they're talking about other than what they see and read from guys like you and Vinny.
Yeah, because I think it's on the surface it's a more of a light kind of silly story, but it's really not.
It's not. It's deep.
And so when you know, as you start to peel away the layers of the onion, then you're like, oh, wait, you can't. And I think it's fair to kind of joke about with the stuff that's known, but then you say, yeah, if you knew some more details, you probably wouldn't joke about this. Although, if I wasn't close to the situation, I would joke. I joke about everything.
Yeah.
I joke about like some of the most like intimate details of you know my own personal life, even. So it's weird. There it is again. All right, we'll talk about other things on the field with the Raiders. They have a mock game coming up on Saturday. I know you are going to be at the Aces. I think they're at the same time.
Yeah, one's at one, one's at noon.
You will not say it. I will tell people you should probably go try to check out this mock game. Look,
I'm just getting ready to pull up.
If you're not, you know, especially if you haven't gone to a game, you haven't been to Allegiant Stadium, a good chance to check it out for one. Tickets are available. You just go up to the website. 1 o'clock on Saturday. $5, all the proceeds go to the Raider Foundation. So it's a good cause anyway. You can go see this team practice, see the energy. I'm sure Pete Carroll is going to make it fun for the fans. It's been very important to him in terms of how practices have operated. So I would highly recommend people go out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm actually, if it was any other opponent, Actually, I say the
fever. It could be the fever.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go. I already went to a fever game. But if I hadn't gone to a fever game, I would choose the Raider game. If it were the Liberty or the Lynx, and it's the Lynx.
What about the Sparks?
I've already seen the Sparks 3 times.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I know 3 of them personally and could text them and be like, hey, I'm not coming to the game. I mean, they'd sweat me like, what do you mean you weren't at the game? Yeah. But I've been to the home games they've been at. Fever, I went to a game. It's the Minnesota Lynx. It's who I think is probably going to win the WNBA title. Nafisa Collier's on an MVP run. So I want to be there. And I probably wouldn't write something anyway from this. And for the Sporting Tribune, I'm guessing that my colleagues Steve Karp and Will Despard will be out there. So they'll be fine without me. I'll probably be out practice. But I am looking forward to just following along while I'm at the Aces game of all your guys' tweets and see what's going on and watch video. Because I have a feeling whoever the in-game host is going to be, if it's the same ones that they have or if they even do that. But I could actually see Pete Carroll jumping on the mic and getting people revved up.
Yeah.
It's something he would do.
Wouldn't be totally surprised. Even though you're not going to be there, fans that are going, is there anything that you want to see or that you're interested in how it plays out on Saturday?
I've really been excited about the local boy, Jonah Laulu.
Jonah.
I really have. And then talking to his high school coach today, so I'm going to get that story going before this mock game. I want to see him, you know, in this mock game kind of get fired up. Just because I was really inspired by his everything that he said the other day when we're sitting there listening to him and this, you know, still this kid who's feeling so blessed to come from Las Vegas and he even said, someone asked him, he said, I would have never even thought when I was in high school there was no Raiders here. I would have never even imagined that I'd be playing for a home, let alone be in the NFL, but playing in my hometown and now be in position to start. And I don't know. Did you see Sandra Douglas Morgan's tweet today?
No.
She quote tweeted a tweet. I retweeted it. Check it out. She like reemphasizing how much he's actually said he wants to be in the community and be a part of this and give back and whatever he can do, he wants to be out there. So I asked Dustin Forche, who was the coach at Centennial, and what's funny is I didn't get a chance to ask a question, by the way, because a couple people jumped in front of me and Ashley, our girl there, she was waiting to give me the signal to ask. He brought up DJ Campbell a couple of times. Yeah. I had been texting with DJ the night before about him. So I'm just really excited. But Dustin said that's him. That's always been him. So he's one. And then
He actually did a camp back at Centennial a couple weeks
ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did I bring up earlier off the air? And I can't think of the linebacker that was also spoken. You said he's awesome.
Oh, Devin White.
Devin White.
Yeah.
I was really, obviously, you know, big advocate of mental health. I am, so I was really enjoyed his, you know, his conversation with us yesterday, and a lot of the things that he sort of exposed about himself, and saying that he struggled with a lot of mental health, with going with his father and the injury, and so just stories like that when you're out there covering. For me, who does so many more features than breaking and game coverage type, as you do both. And write columns. I hear those, and those are the immediate things I want to go see about those guys. And I want to see Geno Smith play because I feel like he's, from the practices I've been at, he's been pretty sharp.
Yeah, I think he's been up and down a little bit, but he's had some really nice performances. And I think one of the things you see, even when there are negative plays, they're balanced out by really, really positive plays. So that's been something certainly to watch. The red zone has been a struggle. That's kind of been the knock on his past, so he's going to have to clean that up. It's a new offense. I think it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to seeing how the run game evolves, not necessarily how the running backs look, but how the linemen look in the system in terms of Chip Kelly kind of getting them out moving a little bit. I think it's more to their strength of how they can succeed and how they can take it to the next level. People say, it's largely the same offensive line. How are they going to be better? Well, I think the scheme is better. I think it fits them better, and I think that's how they'll improve. Griffin, are you excited about it? First of all, are you going on Saturday?
I am in the process of getting that credential going.
Process? So, what are we doing here?
It's a process now. It's a process. Right. We're not all Adam Hill out here.
There's a deadline for that game tonight.
I think it's tonight.
Yeah, yes. Trust me. We're on top of it. We're
okay.
Good.
Okay.
One thing something I'm either going to look for if I go or something that I'm curious about, with this being kind of like a mock game at Allegiant with its practice, I'm guessing full pads. It's going to try to be as close to a game as possible.
I think so. Although, I'm fascinated by that too, of how much they're actually going to hit. I mean, the linemen will hit, that sort of thing. There'll be contact out, you know, in the passing game in terms of the you know, the corners and the receivers kind of duking it out a little bit, but they haven't. They don't usually tackle in training camp. I know Pete Carroll said at one of his pressers, like in OTAs, that they're not going to see Ashton Jeanty tackled until, I thought he said the regular season, but I think he'll play in the preseason, so it'd be a game.
For the record, that's why when you asked what I'm excited, that's why he wasn't on my list.
Yeah.
Cause.
So I don't know. Although, I wouldn't be shocked either. Like, I don't – if you made me bet, I would bet that they don't tackle. But I wouldn't be shocked, especially the way Pete Carroll likes to run things. He likes to make it real, and we've pointed this out, I think, a couple times, but the mock game is at 1 o'clock on Saturday. That's not by mistake. Like, that's what time games are for the most part on Sunday. Like, they want to do everything they can to make this feel like they're building up to an actual game situation.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you don't even have to tackle. What I really hope to see if I get to go out there to Allegiant is I want to see what their solution is there at D-tackle. I want to see who they put in there. I want to see the people who they are, the D-tackles that are in place. How do they look against the run? How do they look against the pass? What solutions can we see? I kind of, you know, me being a former D lineman, I'm just a stickler for it. I love seeing guys like Tyrese Wilson who play on the edge, but, you know, are able to, they have the size in order to kick back inside, play a little D tackle. I'm kind of hoping that maybe we see some of that Saturday at Allegiant.
Yeah, I think he'll be in there. I think the starters at defensive tackle as of right now would be Adam Butler, who's been mentioned quite a bit, and Jonah Laulu, the local kid that Willie was just talking about, who has been absolutely sensational throughout this entire offseason. He had the opportunity to be kind of the first teamer with Christian Wilkins out, you know, not only a little bit last year, but all throughout the OTAs and minicamp. He was the guy, and now he's the guy going forward, at least for now. It's his job to at least, you know, to keep right now.
I just want to jump in real quick just because we talked about how, you know, the biggest story in the NFL this week, training camp, you know, nationwide, so on and so forth. NFL just released a statement. I just want to read it real quick because we touched on it the first couple of days. We actually also acknowledged Reno. You know, everyone is so shocked about this shooter, and our hearts, you know, prayers and thoughts go out to the people in New York, but we had a shooting up north as well. But the NFL put out a statement. The NFL, just about 10 minutes ago, the NFL is deeply grateful for the global outpouring of support following the tragic act of violence at the New York City building that houses our league office, among other organizations. We honor the four innocent lives lost, including NYPD officer, I'm going to botch this, Didoral Islam, whose heroism will never be forgotten. Our thoughts are with the survivors as they begin the difficult journey in physical and emotional recovery. The NFL family is resilient and united, and together we will find strength in one another as we heal. So for anybody that possibly was at Mandalay Bay or UNLV, and when we're talking about the biggest story in the NFL, there are people that deal with PTSD and they hear about a shooting and it still triggers it. We want you to understand that we cover the Raiders. To us, this is a big story, but we also recognize the tragedy that went down in New York.
Yeah, and, you know, thank goodness was not an even bigger story with, you know, even potentially more lives that could have been lost. And I actually have a couple friends that were in the office at the NFL at the time. So you hate to say thankful that it was, they didn't make it to the office, but that is where it is. I mean, it was a tragedy as it was. It could have been even worse, and more families dealing with that awfulness. So, yes, thankfully it wasn't an even more major story. I know one of the NFL employees was shot in that situation, but the shooter never, who, by the way, lived like right around the corner from here, which is just so scary. Like,
which is why it's important for us to also recognize, also, you know,
from where we're sitting right now, it's like a half mile
away. I don't want to bring the show down, but I just wanted to make sure the statement just came out. And
well, too late for that, Willie. We just completely, no segue, just change it. I know,
just shut it down.
Griffin said that there is a soundbite in the system of, I will say, AJ Cole viciously attacking me. This was unfair because my question was actually a compliment. Did you hear this before?
Not yet.
My question is a compliment. I'm going to say that over and over again, and I think I haven't heard the clip, but I was there, so I know I think what it is. I was asking something positive. AJ, I think, turned it into an attack against him. Completely unfair.
Last two lines, do you know where you stand on the all-time list in average?
Not a clue.
Second.
Okay. Who's first? Come on, know your facts, Adam.
I look it up.
Lock in.
I guess I was going to ask, is that important to you?
You going to come talk smack to me and not know who's better?
I was saying that it was impressive.
Thanks.
But, I mean, is those things important to you? Like, going down in history all-time, like, wherever you end up ranking?
No, not necessarily. I mean, to me, the most important thing, like I said, is the beginning of the goal, right? The process and how I, you know, go about that. But more important to me than any stat, any accolade, is just being a great teammate. Being a great teammate does have to do with production, and it does have to do with, you know, how you play and all of that. But from a stats perspective, I try and watch that as little as possible, because I think that that can be a potentially a dark place to go to. And I think that the more you stat watch, the more you take away from the game. And so when I go out there, am I thinking about numbers? I try not to, because I try and think about putting the ball in the right place so my coverage team can go down there and make a huge play. They can go get paid, and we can win the game. That's really what I'm thinking about.
It was not an attack. Saying your second all
was
time.
Was that at the softball game?
It's not an attack. No, that was actually at the podium at the training camp.
Oh, okay.
It's not an attack to say your second all time.
No.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
And he knows that. He's joking. There was fans that came up to me like, oh, AJ got you. I was like, first of all, he's joking.
Yeah.
But the answer, it actually is Jack Fox, which I kind of knew, but I didn't want to be wrong. So I did back down from that. And later on in the during the press conference, I had looked it up, and I said it was Jack Fox. That's who's number one, who's currently with the Lions. Very impressive, though. Number two all time. Now, to the caveat, since everybody says I'm negative about everything, I will say, of the top 12 punters in history by average, how many are currently playing?
Ask the question again.
So of the top 12 punters by average, all time, career average, all time in the NFL, how many are current punters?
I'm going to say 4.
I'm going to say 8.
You're both wrong. It's 11.
Mm. Wow.
11 of the top 12 are currently punting in the NFL. And that tells you athletes are getting better. I know people don't like to hear that. Athletes are getting better. It's just a fact. And the current punters now are obviously the best they've ever been.
Training and preparation in, as you said, athletes getting better, but stronger, and technique, you know, in terms of things that you can do in the gym, you know, in science, realistically, right? In figuring out how to do things differently than before, you know, training regimens are different. So they're stepping the game up. And this is big, Griffin. You know why this is big? We had a group text. We're in a group text for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Adam must have felt it was his birthday the other day when we got this message that on the same day as special teams?
Well, the same week.
Or the same week as special
teams. So special teams day was Tuesday.
That's it.
And then they told us, there's going to be a presentation on rules and an opportunity to ask questions coming up soon.
Yeah.
And I said, rules and special teams are the two things I care most about in life.
Think about it. Think about how many times. Didn't I just bring this up last week?
This is like Christmas.
I said, we have to consult Adam for the rules on this. Mm, remember?
I think I do, yeah.
I love rules. Yeah. Last year, we had a chance to talk to a referee. The first 45 minutes that I was grilling him on rules, he was like, oh, this is great. Like, I usually don't get this kind of feedback. I'm usually just kind of talking into a void and nobody cares. And then after that, I think he was like, all right, enough.
Like, it's kind of like
– it was cool for a while, enough.
Yeah, they're used to giving just garden variety answers and reporters just going, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of like listening. It's kind of like when we get in the locker room with the Golden Knights and they start talking about their off-ice regimen, and everyone takes the, what'd you do? Oh, well, I did a lot of lifting and conditioning, and then they go move on. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. And I start asking more questions about lifting and caloric intake. And
oh, yeah. If I had the opportunity, I would love to just sit down with like a Max Crosby or even an Asia Wilson and just be like, yo, what is your training regimen? Yeah. Don't give me the
– No,
don't give
you me know the, who you would love talking to?
Who?
Aiden Hill.
Ooh.
This dude, forget about it.
nerding out over your weightlifting when I'm trying to talk special teams and rules, the most important things in life.
Yes.
It was
11 out of 12. So you're in heaven this year, this season.
Well, he could potentially get the number one.
No, but how? Okay, let me ask you this: how many of the 11 of the 12, the 11 active, how many play the Raiders?
That's a good question. Let's see. Well, one next week in preseason.
Because this will be a story every time the people
it will
come.
Be.
Adam will request.
I think four or five. Yeah. Also, we should point out, to be fair, the one that is not current, the one retired punter who is actually in the top 12
Janikowski.
Is tied for fourth. Well, he's a kicker. Close, though. Tied for fourth all time. No, Shane Leckler.
Shane Leckler.
Who's a longtime Raider, obviously, from 2000, 2017. Actually, to 2016, I think he finished somewhere else, 2017. But, yeah, so the 2000s have been very, very good for punters for the Raiders. Two in the top five that they've had as their punters throughout this decade.
How many punter stories, what's the over-under for this year for you?
It depends how things work out.
Let me change that.
We do have
how many special team stories?
I mean, plenty. And we do have, look, AJ just got a huge contract. I know he was asked about all the landscaping work he's had done since he got his new contract. That was a big answer the other day. But Daniel Carlson is on a contract year. And he's been phenomenal for the Raiders. He's not coming off his best season. But kickers are now more valuable than ever because not only are there going to be more returns, but you're going to have to be a little bit tricky with how you kick off. You don't want to give – you know, returners running starts. So you're going to have your kickers find ways to get returners going in the wrong direction or catching them off the bounce, that sort of thing. Very, very vital are kickers now on kickoffs in addition to being field goal guys. So I think there'll be plenty of special team stories, and we'll see how valuable Daniel makes himself going into a contract year.
It's a little scary that the Raiders' best players have been punters and kickers.
Scary or awesome? Special teams
matter. Awesome,
special but teams matter.
They need to step it up in the other areas.
You're right. You don't want your punter and your kicker to be the most like known guy. And I know, you know, there's other stars on the team, but they do, you know, I think when you look around,
the ones ranking say, among the statistical
Raiders,
leaders.
What can the Raiders hang their hat on truly over the last, you know, 10 years? It's their kicker and their punter.
Yeah. Well, this year they may be able to hang their hat on rookie of the year.
Potentially. Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to talk more Raiders, but also some UNLV football, some other topics as well. And man, we got Arash fired up earlier on a topic. Mm. I think Caleb's going to be fired up just as much. Caleb Herring joins us next.
Former UNLV quarterback and current voice of the Rebels, Caleb Herring, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company on a Wednesday. Couldn't put the headphones on. Broken headphones. And it's got it all tied up and couldn't put them on. Also because I was thrown off by a breaking news story. I mentioned a player earlier and I said, he sucks now. It's over. Might be true. I don't want to be alarmist. I don't think it's anything terrible yet, but Shohei Ohtani just left his start with trainers after throwing six straight balls, including a couple wild pitches.
Oh.
Let's hope this is not. Let's hope this is not.
Wait a little, Rosh gets a hold of you.
What it could be. I think I would have jinxed him by saying he sucks
you
now.
Put the whammy on
one bad as a hitter yesterday, and now he's off the mound. Let's just think good thoughts about Shohei.
And before we bring Caleb in, one other thing, just because end of one, going into the second quarter, rematch of the WNBA Finals. It was tied 24 all. It is now 29-24 Minnesota.
There you go. Update from the WNBA. Caleb Herring joins us with just all kinds of things happening. Caleb, how are you?
I'm doing good. As a Southern California native and a Dodger fan, that stings. Shohei's been on a tough stretch, but yeah, his health, I think, is required for a championship run. I don't know, though. Our roster's still loaded, but we'll see.
That'd be a tough one,
not
man.
To do so.
That's a tough loss to overcome. If there was, again, there's nothing. We don't know anything, so it'll be fine. He hasn't had any major arm surgery in the past, right? I think
nothing major that I could think of.
Think like, he's good. One, just one kind of slightly major one. We'll see how Shohei is. He should not be pitching. I love that he pitches. He should not be pitching. That's fine. That's a topic 100%. For another day. Let's stay in Southern California before we get into some UNLV talk, because I also got Arash fired up earlier about something that you may also not love. Daryl Morey says, you know what? Everybody knows the Lakers title is an asterisk from the bubble.
I don't know if it's an asterisk. I would say it's unique, because I think it's just as valid because of the circumstance of the season. It was a 90% or something like that, like that they ended up playing of the year. And it wasn't like the Lakers sucked and like nobody else had 100% team cooperation or something like that. Like just about everybody that was a contender had their full rosters in that playoff series or in that, that playoff run. And the Lakers were one of the best teams in the league when the shutdown happened. I don't think it's a unicorn year. Yes, I'll give you that. What happened with COVID, that's 2020 just for everybody was weird. But it was just as hard to win those games. They had to play the same, you know, dimensions of the court, the same competition, and everybody had even playing field. It's not like we made the playoff best of five instead of best of seven. It was still, you know, seven-game series, just as difficult. I'm not saying it's an asterisk. It's probably a unique championship, but definitely not an asterisk next to it.
By calling it unique and a unicorn title, I feel like you're saying it's an asterisk because it's even more impressive. I feel like you're taking even more credit for that title.
Let me just jump in real quick. It's an asterisk. It's an asterisk because of the year. The same way that the strike-shortened seasons – like when the Dodgers won the World, that's an asterisk. It's an asterisk because it's important just to say that this is what happened. The key phrase that this guy says, it Daryl Morey said, it doesn't count. It counts. There's an asterisk because of what everybody went through. There should be an asterisk next to who was it? The Lightning, I believe, won it that year. And anybody else that won, the Dodgers, right? Did they win? Is that the year they won?
And that's what you could say about anything that happened in 2020. Like, everybody's life has an asterisk next to it. Like, you got fired from your job, but there's an asterisk. Like, that. Like that's like what the whole year 2020 had to do with everything just being off. So, like, yeah, you could put an asterisk next to it, but it doesn't take away from the accomplishment.
No, 100% not.
It's a very complicated thing for Morey to try to assert that it doesn't count. No, life counts. Everything happens. Still, and it was just, and like I said before, and it's been mentioned before, the season was played all the way through March, essentially. And 90% of the games were actually played. So we pretty much knew who was going to be in contention for the championship, and the Lakers were among the top teams for championship contention. There's no reason to say it doesn't count.
This is it's completely irrelevant. We're just spiral off topic. That's what we do when Steve's not here. We just do whatever we want. You said in there you got fired from your job. There's an asterisk there. It reminds me of one of my favorite running topics, and I'll bring this to the air from the group text. I have a close friend. Our favorite thing in the group text is he got laid off week one of the pandemic. He was in, you know, I guess he was in sports. So there was like no, his sport wasn't going on anymore, and he got laid off. He still has not started working. He has not found
a
job.
Amazing.
And we're like, what do you do? Like, how do you live? And he just says he gets by. I don't even know how that's possible.
He gets bought?
Yeah. Hmm. He just gets by.
Oh, my God. That's a, like, he's revolutionized the game. Yeah. We need to study him. That's, yeah. I know, so I'm just, my personal life, my wife got furloughed during COVID, and because of the way the come back to work thing unfolded, she ended up getting promoted like four spots.
Oh, nice.
When she came back, because people that didn't, like, I guess people that just didn't go back to work after. So, like, there's a lot of people, I think, that just did. And maybe, I don't know what their financial situation is. I can imagine. It's
not good.
Been 5 years now.
No, yeah, it wasn't no good way. To start with.
Oh, my goodness.
We have no idea what he's doing.
It's just straight survival, man.
5 years.
He might be into some, I won't put that juju out there for your buddy, but.
No, there's been a lot of theories about what exactly is happening. Nobody knows. It's fascinating.
Well. We do know that we know if there's an asterisk next to anything in Caleb's life, it's a good asterisk, taking you back to the one Heart of Dallas Bowl when you quarterback the UNLV Rebels. So I know there's some special interest for you in the top topic at UNLV right now, and it's the quarterback battle and this new offense.
That was feel like that was a long way to go.
It was clunky, but I got there.
I was like, where's he going with the Heart of Dallas Bowl reference? That's good. I like it.
Over the river and through the woods.
Yeah,
we're here.
To Caleb's house we go.
Yeah. So, no, I do think the first thing I'll say is that our quarterback situation has improved over the last few seasons. And I think Jay Maiava going back 2 years ago, it seems like forever ago, I think that was probably the best quarterback play we've had since my time, I guess, if you'll say, as far as the production from the position as a quarterback. Last year, obviously, with Masuaka and Hosmer Lee Williams, I think we had good play, but not necessarily traditional quarterback play. This year, I think both of the quarterbacks with Alex Orji and Calandrier, both are better quarterbacks as far as their ability to pass the ball than we had on the roster last year. So that's a positive for the UNLV passing game, which did have some struggles last year. Obviously, the go-go offense is what it is. There's a lot of RPO-centered offensive scheming that didn't focus necessarily on straight drop-back pass and intermediate to short game stuff. So this year, I think with Dan Mullen's offense and those two quarterbacks, either one I think could be a starter. I think the offense will be in good hands. And I'm excited to see what they can do. And I say they're good passers. I would say as well, both are capable of being running quarterbacks to the level that we saw last year with Hosmer Lee Williams and Masuaka, who I think their primary impact on the game was their legs. But both of these guys are just as capable. Calandrier has put some plays together throughout spring and fall where he's put the wheels on display. Obviously, we know what Alex Orji is able to do. His size alone should be an indicator that he can make an impact with his legs as well. But again, the most important thing for me is that with this system, this new pass offense, as well as their arm talent and their ability to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball, I think they're both better passers as well. So we got an opportunity for a very dynamic offense, whichever one of these guys ends up winning the battle.
Caleb Herring, you can hear him describing the action of whichever quarterback does win the battle on the UNLV broadcasts of the football season coming up very soon, right around the corner. August 23rd? Is that the day?
It's the earliest start for a UNLV football team in history. So, that's pretty awesome. Yep. It also, I think the schedule actually helps the Rebels because the way the byes end up falling, you kind of split the season into thirds now. So they'll have two byes before November, and then kind of that last month of the season, be able to have a bye week to get, recovered and fresh for the end of the year. But yeah, starting early, you get the late season bye, and if the Rebels are where they think they should be, which is squarely in championship contention, looking at the postseason again, then I think that little rest at the end of the year might help out. So just the way the schedule shook out this year is actually pretty beneficial for UNLV.
And I made the point to Dan Mullen a couple times last week talking to him, and he kind of like not shot it down, but he's like, I guess. But I thought it was actually kind of important to have that game moved, to have the Idaho State game kind of a tune-up game before you go on a road for, a team in Sam Houston that's not, a world beater, but like a pretty solid program. I know they got a lot of new players around and everything, but that's kind of a tough road spot to start with. I think it's better to have a home game that's a tune-up.
I think so. I agree. I think that first home game to kind of, it's your FCS opponent to kind of get the cobwebs off, see what the chemistry looks like with live bullets, maybe an opportunity to get extended reps in terms of competition and figuring out who's going to be the guy for the season at whatever position group you want to throw out. But yeah, Sam Houston and Miami of Ohio, where you talk about the non-conference schedule, these teams are not, pushover teams. They're both bowl teams. Two out of the four teams UNLV plays in the non-conference schedule were bowl teams last year. UCLA obviously is a good football program. They just, had a rough year in the Big Ten. They were a 4-win team there, or 5-win team. I think they ended up getting 5 wins. So it's a pretty, testy non-conference schedule if you sputter out of the gate. So having that first, week zero game and then a kind of a last week in between to really reset the program and get ready for Sam Houston on the road, I think is big to have that game moved up to the front of the schedule like that.
Now, Caleb, let's say that they get their gears in, they get in gear early and the offense is rolling and they start rolling and running up the score. At some point, this being a tune-up game, you also don't want to open up the playbook and flex your muscles too much because you don't want to show those tougher non-conference teams. At what point do you sort of maybe let off the gas pedal, or do you?
I think you as a coaching staff have your idea of what you need to see executed before you start pulling the starters off and pulling your punches. I do think there is a little bit of a mystery around an offense or this system with UNLV that you want to keep in place, right? You don't want to have to throw anything special out because you want your offense to be new for Sam Houston, right? Sam Houston doesn't have film on what this Rebel offense or what this team looks like. So you want to try to limit as much as you can while still handling business. And you do that by using clean execution of minimal stuff. And that's kind of been the temperature with Dan Mullen during the install in the spring and even with how much he's putting into the playbook. He doesn't have this expansive 200-page playbook that he's going to try to keep it a secret. He has plays that he wants to be able to run and run them efficiently. So I think in the first game, you're going to see, you know, the playbook as it's needed, but I think you're going to see just focus on execution, and hopefully you can win the game with minimal use of your playbook with just well-executed stuff. And I think that's what you probably want to focus on as a coaching staff for that first game. Now, if you don't like what you see, then it's, you know, you never want to go into a game and say, yeah, we're going to take it easy on this opponent. So if you come out and you're flat-footed or whatever the case may be, you got to do what you got to do. Can't really be thinking about next week until you handle business from this week. So that's kind of what I expect. If they come out and handle business, I think very early you'll see them water down the playbook and start calling off the dog, so to speak.
A lot of UNLV talk coming up the next couple of weeks as we get prepared for the season with Caleb Herring for sure. But we talked earlier about, we're happy that football's back tomorrow. We got a Hall of Fame game. We get to watch football. Anytime there's games on, it's good. Are you genuinely excited about this? I feel like you are.
I feel like this year, for whatever reason, I'm really excited to have football back. Like it kind of snuck up on me in a way. I've stopped with, you know, following social media and all the experts out there that are giving their opinions during training camp and counting the reps and completions and stuff. So I didn't really tune into it as much. So now that it's actually time to play games, I do think I'm more excited than I have been in years past, especially for preseason games. The Trey Lance narrative for the Chargers, I don't know why. It piqued my interest. I want to watch. I'm excited to see if he actually is going to have a redemption arc to his career. There's more parity, I think, in the NFL and the storylines, especially this year, with, I think, the talent and I don't think it's just the Chiefs and whoever else, or the Chiefs and the Niners. And that's not the story of this year. I think there's a lot of teams that have a legit story or stake in trying to get to the Super Bowl this year. The Cowboys, again, of course, for the 30th year in a row, are interesting again. The Commanders, what is Jaden? There's so many different storylines that I want to find. Hometown, like the Raiders. I think there's some genuine interest in if the Raiders have put some pieces in place to make them a threat in the AFC West. Yeah. So those are things that I'm excited about. We'll see how it unfolds, but football is king. I haven't even mentioned college yet, like the storylines of college with the expanded playoffs and all that fun stuff. Like this, I think it's football is the best thing going for sports right now, and I'm excited about the start of the season. I'm going to count tomorrow as the start of the season officially because I'm going to be locked in for all 18 games this year.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. Like I am going to. I'm excited for football in general. I think you're kind of the same way. Not necessarily this game, but just having it on. Like from now on, it's going to be on like every day, and that's good.
And that's brilliant. I think ESPN is going to get, like, just watching SportsCenter is going to, for me, for my cup of tea. I know I like baseball, but I'm not a baseball guy. So, like, the summer months are kind of hard for me when everything's baseball, 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 and WNBA, obviously. Sorry, Willie, didn't want to leave you guys out. But the NFL football is my thing. So when there's more football, I'm happy. It's gotten to the point where I've been just watching YouTube clips of like the greatest runs of 2024 and like all that kind of stuff just to get me fired up and juiced for the season. So, yeah, football through and through for me.
I love that Shohei Ohtani's arm falls off and Caleb is immediately done with baseball. He's over to football. He's ready to go, but everybody is. Caleb, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir. We will we'll see you out there soon with UNLV. I mean, I'm excited for football. Caleb's excited for football. Everyone is. But the only thing more exciting than football is David Lee Roth. I don't know if you knew that. It's a known fact. And you can win two tickets. Saturday night, September 6th, at Fontainebleau. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com for David Lee Roth on September 6th. Or you can be the fifth caller, 364-1100, and win them right now. 364-1100, David Lee Roth, September 6th, Fontainebleau.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Wrapping things up on this Wednesday, Homeless Homies Edition, Adam Hill, Willie Ramirez, Griffin, along with us as we wrap things up. And I have no idea what's about to happen. Willie has to pull a not to be a tattletale. That's all it says. That's all that's written here on my rundown.
You know, that phrase Kelsey Plum said a couple of weeks ago.
Not to be a tattletale.
Not to be a tattletale, but yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day, and we had every guest reveal their favorite flavor. Ranch or blue cheese, you and I both know there's only one answer, and how many they could take down at one sitting. Oh. The guy to your left said the blue cheese should never even be on a table. Like, it's horrible with anything, and it shouldn't even be a rat. Like, he just completely discarded it and discredited
it. So I feel
it
about ranch near wings.
Yeah. But blue cheese is, like, disgusting. So, like.
Yeah, but it's the proper condiment for wings. Like, if the actual a chicken wing is, and actually a lot of the exotic wings are not really, you know, buffalo wings either, but like a buffalo wing would be the buffalo sauce, either the mild,
majority
medium,
of the guests,
like a hot or a medium.
The majority of the people said traditional sauce.
Yeah, and you go like the traditional sauce, yeah. And then you go blue cheese. Like, that's what a buffalo wing is. Everything else is some other version. And like, I'm not knocking them. There's some great ones. I know we always say, there's really only like two places in town I'll even eat wings from.
Naked One.
Naked City One for sure. Actually, I'll shout out also Tap House has fantastic wings.
I brought a boat. Well, I didn't say either place, but that was the place I was talking about, the double baked.
Yeah.
Oh, and then fantastic. I said.
And they have that one is really good, that special one that they do. And then the Cajun butter ones at Naked City, which were like a special item. And then I like demanded Chris put them on the menu at one point. Tremendous. But like the actual chicken wing would be like the traditional sauce with blue cheese. That's how you eat.
So you're saying blue cheese is your selection because it's the proper way to eat wings.
Blue cheese. I eat blue cheese on like it's my salad dressing. It's what I eat. I love blue cheese.
It's just not enough reason to eat blue cheese.
I actually eat blue cheese. Like, I'll get crumbles of blue cheese.
Yeah, me too.
No.
Blue cheese, feta is a good one too. I love a feta.
Like, when people get a wedge salad that's or a Cobb salad, it's generally blue cheese.
I am one of those people. I order Cobb salads and I order them with ranch.
No, the Cobb salad is blue cheese. That's a ridiculous notion.
Blue cheese is a ridiculous condiment. It tastes fungy. It's not good.
I'm also not into like things being like masculine or feminine or whatever, but like loving ranch is definitely a feminine quality.
Come on. How many dudes, how many players have you interviewed over the years that have said, I love ranch? What do you like with all the questions? What do you like with french fries? Ranch. What do you like with your wings? Ranch.
I know very little about women. The two things I know, they love ranch and murder mysteries, like murder
and
documentaries.
And Love Island.
Love Island. Well, hold on. Everybody loves Love Island. Hold on. There's nothing about that. I'm not into like gender stereotype stuff. I will say, ranch and murder shows.
Did I tell you that we went over to Naked? Who was in town? And the Fever were in town.
Sure.
And Doug Feinberg and I, we found out where they were practicing. We went to Mendenhall. And I said, let's go grab a bite before I take you to your hotel. And we went over, and Chris was working.
Oh, nice.
And he just said, what do you guys? I said, dude, just do your thing. And he just laid it out. And took care of us. He said, just take care of my girl. And Doug was floored. Just floored.
No, the food is fantastic.
Yeah, it's beyond.
No. Maybe I'll go to wings now and not with French. gotta get blue cheese for sure. That'll do it. Thanks to everybody that was on today. Arash Markazi, Sporting Tribune, Justin Watkins, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, Caleb Herring from UNLV, Vegas, B. Edwards up on Twitter, Brian Edwards. Thanks, guys.